Good morning. It's good to see you. For those of you who do not know me, you might wonder why the guest pastor is getting lots of handshakes and hugs. So let me introduce myself. My name is Greg Ellis, and I serve as pastor of a church. Long time ago, I served as pastor here. I served from 2006 to 2009. It's already been 6 years since, well, we're in 2016. It's been a long time since I've been here. And then after that, I served at Bethany Covenant Church in Richfield. And I know that there are a good number of people from Bethany Covenant Church in Richfield who have moved here after the closing of the church. So I recognize those people as well. I have a confession to make. I did not bring my wife. Can I stay? She sends her regrets. My wife, Carrie, is a partner in ministry for sure. She is at home cooking this morning. Our church is the Table Christian Church. We meet Sunday evenings, which is why I'm free this morning. And we start each evening of worship with a meal. Tonight it's going to be enchiladas, so Carrie's up to her elbows in enchilada sauce. And if our people who come tonight want to be fed, she is doing the cooking. So I will pass on your greetings to her, and I'll get to hug her extra long because you've already told me to pass those hugs on to her. So she misses you. She would have loved to be here, but her sister is in town from California. And so we had a game day yesterday, and the enchiladas did not get made, and they will not make themselves. Our text this morning comes from Matthew chapter 2. But before I get there, I'll tell you where I'm going, and I'll tell you a couple assumptions that I start with. So first of all, we're going to be talking about spiritual seekers. And you need to know that sometimes it is the seekers and not the insiders who get it right. I take as foundational text for me and for my life, John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Do you know verse 17? It's also quite important. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Notice, this is for the world. It's not just the people who know that they're already God's chosen people. This is for the world. Keep that in mind. And then also Romans 1, 19 and 20. They know the truth about God because God has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky through everything God made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they, the world, has no excuse for not knowing God. So that's where we start. We have this God who loves the world so much that he's done everything necessary for people to be in relationship with him. And Scripture tells us that the world is without excuse because God can be known in our experience of nature. We see God's invisible nature, his divine quality. So that's where we're starting. Are you ready to dig in? If you brought your Bible with you, take it out. We're going to be looking at Matthew 2. Text is also going to be on the screen. I'm reading, I've got a couple of versions here. I don't remember which one I copied there. Rick, will you be showing the text or no? Yes? All right, because then we'll all read it together. Hey, that's me. All right. Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born? in Bethlehem, in Judea, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men. And he learned from them when the star first appeared. Then he told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me, so I can go and worship him too. After this interview, the wise men went their way. And the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. And it went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. How beautiful is the song we're going to sing next? All right. So first, let's talk about the Magi. These wise men. Not wise guys, that's different. How many wise men were there? Thank you. We three kings of Orient are. How many of you have a nativity scene at home? The little manger. How many of you wait till January 6th to bring out the kings? Anyone really liturgical? Some of you might. Because technically the church celebrates their coming on January 6th, Epiphany. And we say that there are three kings, even though they weren't kings and there weren't necessarily three. Sorry, I hope I didn't burst anybody's bubble. The term that's used is magi, which is plural of magus. Is it not working? Can you click back in the screen, I think? There we go. Plural of magus or magicians. They're not kings. So we three kings, got it wrong twice. It's a good song. And it causes us to remember that there were these three really wise, intelligent, rich people who came to visit Jesus. They were likely priests of a foreign religion who were astrologers in the best sense of the word. Astro, meaning star. Baseball fans, Astros. And then logi, like biology is the study of life. Astrology is the study of the stars. And even using that term, when Jesus says, or when John says about Jesus, in the beginning was the Word. It's the word logos, where we get logi. So it's words about stars, words from stars. These wise men, not kings, were astrologers or priests who saw the star. Who saw the star in the east or as it rose. And if you know any astronomers, if you know any people who love to look at the stars, they can talk to you a long time about the star of Bethlehem. And people have been going on since Johannes Kepler 400 years ago presented this paper to the scientific community of what the Bethlehem star really was. They use terms like helical rising. They talk about Jupiter being occluded in Aries. If you want, we can talk more. There's so much. I had so much fun preparing for this, but Carrie said, when you say those words, you lose me. Stick to your main point. So we'll move on. So there are these magi who came. They came, they traveled from afar, most likely from Babylon. They were rich, they were wealthy. There are scholars who say these were the king makers. They were people who watched the stars and the stars being designed and made by God. The stars which show God's nature. Remember Romans 1:19-20? Since from the very beginning of creation, God's nature has been visible to people. If you watch, if you look, you can see God in the stars. Now hear me well. I'm not inviting you to worship the stars. Worship the one who created the stars. Worship the one who gave us Jesus, who these magi came to worship. So these king makers from Babylon, most likely, Scripture doesn't say, I'm a good covenanter there where I want to read the Bible as it speaks and not bring too much in, but there you go. So these wise men from the east, they came following, seeking this star. And if it was indeed Jupiter, which looked like a star in the morning, but wasn't actually a star, it would have done what's called retrograde motion, where at the end of its ellipse, so if this is the ellipse of the journey of Jupiter, when we get to here, do you notice how it looks like it changes direction? Where it's coming there and then it goes the other direction. So that's most likely how it stopped and stayed and it even went back over to lead them to Bethlehem. But first it took them to Jerusalem. Now, this guy, I already talked about that there weren't three. They saw the star, they made the journey, they came to worship. That was their intent. They came to worship, to pay homage to, and they brought gifts as were fitting a new king. If you're traveling from the east, some of you caught that, and you're going to the land of Judah, where would you go if you're looking for a king? Do you go straight to Bethlehem? No, you most likely go to the palace. And you talk to the sitting king. We hear there's a new king. And Herod says, what? I was not aware of this. Thank you for bringing this to my attention. At that point, some very, very interesting things happen. Herod asks the chief priests and scribes, the teachers of the law, after hearing this good information. So, fellas, what can you tell me? Where's the king? Where's the Messiah going to be born? Bethlehem in Judea. So, I'm assuming that Herod met privately with the chief priests, teachers of the law. He was a shrewd man. Shrewd ruler. Very power hungry. He would have kept these two powerful groups separate. So he asked, so where is this Messiah going to come? Herod knows, according to Matthew's gospel, Herod knows that it's going to be the Messiah, not just any king. This is going to be the king. The king of kings. So where is this king supposed to be? The chief priests, teachers of the law, those who knew the scripture well, they knew the answer. So Herod takes that information from that group, comes over to the wise men and says, here you go, this is what I know. Bethlehem, Judea, you take County Road 3, turn left at the oasis. No, it's, you know, I don't know exactly how that worked, but that's the sort of information. And when you find him, come back, let me know, tell me his address so I can go worship him too. Now, I find it very interesting that according to Matthew's text, again, just working with what the text has, Herod never went. The chief priests and teachers of the law, those who knew Scripture, who had all of what we would consider our Old Testament, they had it memorized. They knew the right answer, but they did not go and worship. Keep that in mind. So, Herod asked the scholars. They said, Bethlehem, he didn't go. Sometimes it's the seekers who get it right. These foreign people who worship most likely another god heard correctly from God and gave God what he was due. Their presence with an S and C, their presence with a T, their gifts, they gave their worship. Sometimes it's the insiders who get it wrong. I would consider myself an insider. I was introduced to Jesus before I could walk, before I could talk. I grew up in church, and I am so thankful for it. I had faithful Sunday school teachers who told me the stories, and I even had an LP. It's like a big compact disc, or which is how they used to do MP3s. And with Bible stories on it, and I would put that record on the record player and sit in front of the hi-fi with the big speakers, is almost taller than me at the time, I think. And I'd listen to Bible stories. I am an insider's insider. Heck, I even went to seminary. I have a degree. I might have been one of those teachers of religious law who knew the right answer. But when I see these foreign people coming and asking and wanting to know about God, I say, well, this is what the Bible says. You think he's here? Good luck. Yeah, let us know if you find him. Thinking that they're just full of it. That they don't know what they're talking about because they don't know God, because I know God, and clearly God would have told us, right? We hear it. Bloomington Covenant Church. This is still a holiday weekend. And we're here. We're in church where good Christians should be. Right? We're insiders, folks. So what do you do when an outsider, when a seeker comes to you with a question? So Where was Jesus born? Why do you worship the way that you do? Why do you go to church on December 24th or 25th? Why do you do what you do? Why do you go to church every Sunday morning? Why is that part of your routine when these seekers come? Because I guarantee you, if you are living like Jesus lived, seekers will come to you to find God. One of my favorite verses that we've been spending a lot of time with at the table as we're working on living incarnationally is John 20, 21. Did I include a slide of that? I don't have a copy. There we go. And it's supposed to be 21, not 22. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me," Jesus says, "so I am sending you." Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, so I, Jesus, am sending y'all." That's plural. You are being sent into the world just like Jesus. Don't get me wrong. We are not all Jesus. We are not all the incarnate Son of God. We do have the Holy Spirit that lives and resides in us. Think about how Jesus came. Normal, ordinary, even lowly. We know virtually nothing about the first years of Jesus' life. We've got these initial stories from 2 and younger. This probably happened when Jesus was about 2, because they don't use the word infant anymore in the text. They use the term for the little child. And we also get a hint later on in Matthew why it's about 2. But we know we know about when Jesus was 12, he went to the temple, he freaked his parents out because he stayed there when they went home. But then we hear nothing about Jesus until he's 30. A lot of you, normal. A lot of you. Some of you would say you're lowly, humble. "As the Father has sent me," Jesus says, "so I am sending you to be my presence in a world that needs God." Because sometimes we miss the way God speaks and the way God communicates. We also have to assume that God is going to be speaking out there in the world. Long time ago when I was leading pastoring here, we went through a study called Experiencing God. One of the main eye-openers for me, something that has changed how I lived, was that idea of my job is to look out in the world and see what God is doing and join Him in that. Because God is working in the world. Not just in me, not just in my heart, not just in the church. Do you hear me there? God is working in the world, and our job is to join Him in that. And so if that is the case, or because that is the case, we have to assume that God sometimes speaks to people who are outside. And sometimes it's the outsiders who hear well when we miss it. It took these wise guys, these priests, these astrologers who were out there to come from the east, to come and worship when the religious establishment didn't pay any attention. They weren't looking at the stars. Herod was surprised. Don't you think that some of the word of the shepherds filtered up to Jerusalem? Don't you think that some of those shepherds who were out in their fields by night watching their flocks, when they saw the multitude of angels and the heavenly hosts, don't you think people would have heard? But those are just shepherds. Can't really trust them. So again, in Jesus, we see that Jesus goes first, oftentimes, to the outsiders. And He speaks to them clearly. Do you know any spiritual seekers? Do you know people who aren't walking well with Jesus now? And who asks good questions? Who you can tell that they're curious? Please give them your time. Give them your attention. Give them your love. That's what Jesus did. That's what Mary and Joseph here did. Do you recognize that by entertaining these wise men, Mary and Joseph would have been ritually impure to have these foreigners, these Gentiles, under their roof? Their entire house would have had to been purged and blessed in order for them to be ritually pure. This cost Mary and Joseph something because they were good Jews. Sometimes it's the seekers who get it right. Sometimes I have been so challenged by a particular friend that I have in mind when I think of spiritual seekers. In the conversations that he has with me, or we have together, the things that he says, I think, man, that's deep. And there's gospel written all over that, but you didn't get that from the pages of the Bible, but it's true. The way that you want to treat people, that sounds a lot like Jesus, although you're quoting other philosophers to get there. Do you have spiritual seekers in your life? If you don't, if you can't think of anyone, I would invite you to pray and ask that God send you some. That you could love them, that you could learn from them, and that you could share also what you know when appropriate. Because remember, just as God sent Jesus, so Jesus sends us into the world. So we can assume that the same sorts of things will happen to us as they happened to Jesus. That's a little scary at times, but it's also really exciting and really encouraging. Because know that you don't have to condemn. Because remember, for God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. For the Son was not sent to condemn the world. Just as the Father sent Jesus, so God and Jesus send us. We are not sent to condemn. So if you're freaked out about having to tell someone they're wrong, there is a time and a place for that, but that's not usually our role. If the Holy Spirit specifically says convict, lay down the boom, then we're responsible for it. But our position should be like Jesus, who loved. And when he had opportunity, woman, where are your accusers? Neither do I, same word, condemn you. Jesus, who had complete right to? Mary and Joseph don't debate with the wise men about theology, as far as we know. They don't debate about the right text or the wrong text. They just receive the gifts that these wise men brought. So I would invite you to seek out these seekers and love them well, so that they might say about you, you know, there's this person who I know loves Jesus, but they love me too. And I don't get that. What a great testimony of us. So when you pick up your blessing bag as you go, to be able to give with nothing expected, to just be able to bless, oh my word, that is a Jesus-like thing to do. You don't have to condemn. You don't have to tell them to get a job. You don't have to tell them not to drink. Because chances are, if you're to tell them that because you don't have a relationship with them, that wouldn't work. That wouldn't make a difference. So instead, we bless. We give. Sometimes in our world, it's the seekers. Those people that Barna would classify as the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, who have no religious affiliation, who are more compassionate than followers of Jesus, who are more concerned about social justice and the ills in society. Just as the Father sent Jesus, so they send us into the world with the power of the Holy Spirit. So I invite you to go humbly, knowing that maybe that seeker heard from God correctly something that you missed. Herod missed it. He didn't want to hear it. He was power hungry. But the scribes and the chief priests and the teachers of the law who were waiting for Messiah, they had someone come to their door and say, the Messiah is here. The King is here. Where can we find him? And their answer is, now, let me journey with you. Let me show you where. It's down there, aisle 3. And so the chief priests, teachers of the law, missed God appearing. Sometimes the seekers get it right, and we who are inside miss it. I pray that would not be the case with you. I pray that your heart would be soft. You are open to surprises from God. And that you see all the messages that which God is sending you, including those that come from unexpected people and places. Pray with me, please. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. Thank you for this example of seekers who saw and who were faithful and followed. God, give us humility from thinking we're always right or we have a corner on the truth, knowing that you are at work in the world because you love the world. You love the world so much that you sent Jesus, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. You did this not to condemn the world, but so that the world might be saved. Oh God, that's our desire for our family and friends who aren't walking with you. We pray that they would come to know you. And God, would you use us in humble conversations to help them get there? Thank you, God, for these gifts. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name. Amen.